And today we want to talk about, as you see in your bulletin, the last beatitude. And the term beatitude means blessing. That's what is expressed by the term beatitude, the last beatitude. It's good to see each of you in church this morning. And I pray now that the Holy Spirit himself will overshadow us as we worship God in spirit and in truth. And by the way, the Holy Spirit is God. Jesus is God. The Father is God. The Ancient of Days, the Son of Man, and Holy Spirit the Comforter. We came today to worship God. May our worship now be true. Let's pray together. Father and our God in heaven, thank you for the special music given by Mahalia, Lord. We thank you for the scripture reading that was shared by Michelle. We thank you, Lord, for the reading for the offering and the offering call that was made by Joan. We thank you for the music by Sharon. We thank you for everyone's participation in Sabbath school. We thank you for those who just showed up, Lord, to be a part of the experience of worship today. We pray that as we worship you, we will each worship you in spirit and in truth. And you will be pleased with our gathering here today. Many are traveling. It's a long weekend. We pray that you be with them as well, Lord, wherever they are. May they keep the Sabbath holy. May they draw close to you. And may they help others to see that Jesus is the Christ and our soon coming King. Speak to us in your word. May we be blessed as we study about your final blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, the last beatitude was given by Jesus himself in Revelation 22 and verse 14. From the King James Version, it says, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." The New King James Version renders it the same way. And then I'll also read it for you now from the English Standard Version. It says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates." End of quote. Christ gave the last beatitude. Jesus is the new Moses. Did you know that? Christ is the prophet like Moses promised in Deuteronomy 18 verse 18. God says, "A prophet like you I will raise up," speaking to Moses. Now, a trademark of Christ's many beatitudes is that they start with the word blessed. Or the way we like to say it in the King James, ring to it, blessed. And the last beatitude is no exception. So, one version says, "Blessed are those who do his commandments." Another version says, "Blessed are those who wash their robes." First of all, the entire book of Revelation is about Jesus Christ and his victory over Satan, sin and Satan. What do you say? Jesus is quarantining, containing, and will ultimately eradicate sin from this world, which is the blot in God's universe. And Satan himself has been conquered. He's a defeated foe. And Jesus will also eliminate Satan from this world. I mean, those are all blessings. What a day it will be to have no more sin around and no more devil around. That will be an awesome day, amen? Yes, my friend. So, our charter and our mandate as the Seventh-day Adventist Church is to proclaim Christ's final message of mercy to a fallen and rebellious world that has for about 6,000 years been grinding in sin and evil. We are raised up as a Seventh-day Adventist church to bring this message of mercy to the world. Amen? You know, Revelation 22 and verse 11 says, "He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still." There is coming a day when every human being on planet Earth will make a final, irrevocable decision either for or against Jesus. Humanity's probation will close. The time to repent and right wrongs was and will forever be gone. What are you doing today? Are you trying to right your wrongs today? Are you giving them all to Jesus Christ now? The time to repent and right one's wrongs is right now, because then it will forever pass. What are you doing about it today? Each person will long to have fulfilled the terms of the last beatitude. Each person will long to have kept God's 10 commandments. Each person will find out then that God's law of 10 commandments is heaven's constitution by which all human being is judged. All of us. For some, this discovery will come far too late. They ignored every heaven-sent message and warning. Now they will be lost. How those who boasted that God's law of 10 commandments have been abolished will then long to have just read the Bible for themselves. But we have the time now to make our call and election sure. The book of Revelation is a message of Christ delivering us from the condemnation of sin through his own righteousness. Jesus saves us from the grip of sin in our lives, and this is echoed and re-echoed throughout the book of Revelation. Now, as we reflect on the last beatitude, whether we consider it as doing his commandments or washing our robes, there is continuous action required on our part. Every believer must continue to trust in Jesus Christ for cleansing grace and mercy, as well as for prevenient grace and sustaining power to do his commandments. Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11 say, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down." Verse 11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." How about you today? Can you say you love Jesus more than your life? Can you say you were willing to go to the death rather than deny Christ? This is a high calling we have in Christ Jesus. Very high calling. Amen? Now, there are 24 elders in heaven. I don't know if one named Jim and one named Luke and Charles and Elias and all those. I don't know. But there are 24 elders in heaven who were themselves redeemed from among men. And you know what I understand from the Bible? These 24 elders had natures just like yours and mine. But they overcame through the blood of the Lamb They loved not their lives to the death. They surrendered all to Jesus, and they have the high privilege of living in heaven at least for the last 2,000 years. As these 24 elders no doubt came up with Jesus on resurrection morning, which is represented by this weekend. Tomorrow morning would be that Sunday morning when Jesus rose in mighty triumph from the grave. And Luke chapter 27, 51 on down tells us that they came out of the grave with him at his resurrection, a group of people. And we believe that the 24 elders came up in that group. They were never mentioned in scriptures until after the resurrection. 24 elders. They were redeemed from among men. They had the same sinful passion that you and I have, but they allowed the divine nature of Jesus Christ to win out in their lives. They cast their vote on the side of Jesus. They didn't worry about being Republican or Democrats. They concerned about righteousness of Jesus Christ clothing them. Amen. They put their full vote on the side of Jesus. Now, one of these elders said this in Revelation 7 verse 14. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, so he was asking that question not because he didn't know. He already knew, but he was having a conversation with John. So John says, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Amen. So both texts are clear. We get the victory over sin, over self, and over Satan through the blood of the Lamb, who is Jesus Christ. When John the Baptist introduced Jesus to the world in John chapter 1 and verse 29 and repeated in verse 6, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You know, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is our defense. So, Mahalia and Jacob, when that day comes, do you know who is going to defend you in the judgment? Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ. Sister Merlin, on judgment morning, do you know who is going to defend you in that judgment? Jesus Christ. Joan, do you know who is going to defend you on that grand morning? Jesus Christ. And put each of your name there. When that morning comes and your life is hid with Christ in God, when your name comes up in judgment, you know who God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit will see? They'll see a little Jesus walking around down here on earth. And you'll be approved for all eternity. So Jacob, be ready for that morning. Mahalia, be ready, be ready. The day is coming. And all of you here in church today, be ready for that morning. Amen? Be ready. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ is our defense. And through his ongoing high priestly ministry in his heavenly sanctuary, Christ himself is our defender, our advocate. And he does this in companionship, alongside, in partnership with the Father and the Holy Spirit. I like to say we have a dream team defending our case in this judgment scene. Which attorneys are you going to bring up against the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to try to win a case against us? I tell you, there are three prosecuting attorneys: Satan, sin, and self. Jesus has conquered them all. So if we put our case in the hands of Jesus, we're on the winning side. Soon and very soon, we're going to see that King who is the winner man. Let us give our cases to Jesus today. Amen. The last beatitude, that final blessing in the scriptures there, Jesus says, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. The concept of washing their robes is immortally etched in the Bible. This is not a term or concept limited to the last book of the New Testament scriptures either. Did you know that it is also found in the last book of the Old Testament scriptures? What book is that again? Malachi. Malachi. That's the last book of the Old Testament, right? Which one is it? Yes. It's Malachi. Yes. Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament, and this concept is there. It is in the last book of the New Testament, which is which book again? What's the last book of the New Testament? Revelation, right? The book of Revelation is the last book of the New Testament. And the book of Malachi is the last book of the... Well, Revelation just talk about washing the robes white in the blood of the Lamb, right? Here's how Malachi chapter 3 and verse 2 puts it. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who's coming? Christ's coming. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. The King James Version says fuller's soap. What do you use soap to do? To wash. Soap cleanses. So even though it doesn't say it in the same exact way, to wash your robes white in the blood of the Lamb, Malachi brings to view that you got to go through the refiner's fire. That's one term of purification. And you also have to be refined like launder's soap. The concept of washing. Soap washes. Now, to do his commandments is to wear Christ's character. And you know the story in the book of Zechariah about Joshua, right? Where that messenger said to take off the filthy garment, right? And you see that change of garment and put on him clean garment, white linen, right? Character. And so to do God's commandment is to wear Christ's character. It is to live in harmony with God's will. It is only as we have the image of God restored in us can we even do his commandments. And so Revelation 14:12, the very last verse of the third angel's message, and of all three, incidentally, it says there, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they who keep his commandments and have the faith of Jesus. We cannot keep God's commandment without the faith of Jesus. It is by faith in Jesus. It is by faith given by Jesus that we keep his commandments. And Jesus says in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if keeping commandment make you a legalist, then Jesus was the chief legalist. Because he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Yes, only as we have God's image restored in us that was marred through sin, can we keep his commandments. And here's a little quote for you. I'm pulling this one over from the Great Controversy, page 434. The law of God in the sanctuary in heaven is the great original of which the precepts inscribed upon the tablets of stone and recorded by Moses in the Pentateuch were an unerring transcript. So the great original is where? In the sanctuary in heaven. The great original. Now, imagine you spend your life as a preacher or as a Christian person fighting against the commandments. And then you only get to find out that the original is up there right under God's seat. Right under God's throne. The great original. So people are looking everywhere to find an archaeological discovery of the two tablets of stone. The holiest thing in the religion of Judaism. They're looking for the Ark of the Covenant. Don't worry about that. Be concerned with the Ark of the Covenant up there with the great original. I'm going to read this quote for you once more. The law of God in the sanctuary in heaven is the great original of which the precepts inscribed upon the tablets of stone and recorded in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. They are in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. The law of God in the sanctuary in heaven is the great original of which the precepts inscribed upon the tablets of stone and recorded by Moses in the Pentateuch were an unerring transcript. Transcript, a written expression. When Heather wanted to become an early childhood educator, she had to get her transcript from her high school to go to college, right? Or when Sharon and Jim went to Andrews University, they had to get a transcript from their high school to go to Andrews, right? Or when any of you went to college, you got the transcript, right? And I will tell the children, here's a tip for you children. Malachi, Jacob, and Mahalia, your grades do follow you for life. So do well in school. God has given you powerful minds. Pray to God and apply yourselves and you'll do well. Your grades follow you for life. Transcript. Every college you're going to go to, they're going to ask for your transcript from your high school. They want to see how you performed academically. So an academic transcript is a written expression of how you performed in your grades. This transcript, the Ten Commandments, is a written expression of the character of God. Transcript, the same term. And so it says that the law, as written by Moses, or as received by Moses upon the tablets of stone, or as written by Moses in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, is a transcript of the great original up in heaven. So when Moses got those two tablets of stone, that was a small replica. That wasn't even the original. The great original is in heaven. Man, this should cause us to think. Now, I'm going to read you the other part of this quote. Those who arrive at an understanding of this important point were thus led to see the sacred, unchanging character of the divine law. They saw, as never before, the force of the Savior's words in Matthew 5:18, "For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot," that's the little dot over the I or the J, "one jot or one tittle," the crossing of a T, "will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Here's the other part now about transcript. The word comes up again. The law of God. Jacob, you catching this one? The law of God, being a revelation of his will, is a transcript of his character. Pause. The law of God, being a revelation of God's will, is a transcript, a written expression of God's character. So here's the quote again, once more. The law of God, being a revelation of his will, a transcript of his character, must forever endure as a faithful witness in heaven. Not one command has been annulled. Not one jot or tittle has been changed. And Psalm 119 verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 111 verses 7 and 8 says, all his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever. End of quote. How comprehensive is this last beatitude? Revelation 22:14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. The last beatitude is a call to holiness. Christ pronounces a blessing upon those who cooperate with him. Will you allow him to perfectly reproduce his character in you today? The only hope of obtaining a character worthy to be admitted into heaven is through Christ's works. Romans chapter 5 verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in a hope of the glory of God. And Colossians 1:27 tells us, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is all in the last beatitude. It's loaded. Be bold for Jesus. Stand for righteousness. Stand for holiness. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verses 7 through to 12 gives us an indicator. Quote, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, said Paul. But share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason also I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. End of quote. Who famously said those words as their last words? For I know whom I have believed. Which famous person had those last words. Those are the last words of Ellen White before she breathed her last. For I know whom I have believed. Are you committing your life to Jesus Christ today? Are you surrendering all to Jesus Christ today? God deserves your absolute, complete surrender. Just count the cost. Think about what Jesus did on the cross for you. And this is a good weekend to think about that. Yesterday marked the day when in the year AD 31, that's 1992 years ago, yesterday, 1,992 years ago, yesterday, Jesus died for us. Count the cost. Think about what Jesus did for you on the cross. On that cross. For you, Jesus was willing and Jesus did pay the price. What is your answer to Jesus Christ today? My fellow pilgrims, what is your attitude towards this last beatitude? What kind of vibes? What kind of energy? What kind of witness are you willing to exude? Are you willing to cooperate with Christ and influence others with an atmosphere that is heavenly? Now is the time for you to lay hold on divine energy. It is high time we witness for Christ with high energy. Now is it time to align with God and form the right synergy. In the last beatitude, Christ is himself pronouncing a blessing upon all who will continue to wash their robes in the blood of the Lamb and to do his commandments. See, God told Moses in Deuteronomy 18:18, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. Jesus is that prophet. He is our new Moses. Yes. See, Israel went to Africa, the northern part in Egypt, when there was a crisis in Palestine. Under God, Moses went out with them. You come to the time of Christ. Mary and Joseph went to Africa, the northern part in Egypt, when there was a crisis in Palestine. Under God, Jesus went out with them. Moses escaped the mass destruction of Israelite male babies under the Pharaoh. Jesus escaped the mass destruction of Israelite babies under Herod. Moses spent 40 years in relative obscurity until his encounter with God at the burning bush. Jesus spent 30 years in relative obscurity until God publicly endorsed and anointed him at his baptism with the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove of burnished gold. After the burning bush, Moses was supposed to lead the Israelites through the wilderness in like 40 days. Do you know that? Stubbornness caused that to be extended to 40 years. After being anointed with the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove of burnished gold, Jesus was led into the wilderness. He was obedient unto death and emerged from the wilderness after only 40 days. Moses spent 40 days on the mount with God and got the 10 commandments of God for the people. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness, then gave his famous sermon on the mount, expounding and affirming the 10 commandments. Moses ended up dying and being resurrected by the divine. Jesus ended up dying by crucifixion and was raised by the divine. Jesus is our new Moses. Jesus gave the last beatitude. Jesus pronounced the final blessing. This Jesus, he was crucified for us. And 3 days later, he rose in mighty triumph. 40 days later, he ascended to heaven and he left us the promise, I will come again. The angels gave the witness, this same Jesus, which you have seen gone up, which was taken by the cloud, he shall so come unto you in like manner. This same Jesus is seen in Revelation 14, coming back, sitting on a cloud, the Son of Man. Will you be running to or from Jesus on that day? Will you be hailing him as King and Lord and Savior of your life? Or will you be hurling curses at him and ask to hide you from the face of him that sits on the throne? It's coming to an end. Our own lives are. This world is. And the ongoing pre-Advent investigative judgment in heaven is coming to an end. And the final irrevocable sentence will be pronounced. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is unholy, let him be holy still. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. When general probation closes, where will your decision be? When your name is called in heaven, will there be a blessing pronounced? Or to depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire? We have the clear choice today. We can be washed in Him 3:18 and made whiter than snow. Today, I don't want you to stand to sing this hymn because it's customary that we stand. If you don't mean those words, stay seated. Only if you mean those words today, I'm inviting you to stand and to sing. So you decide. You get to decide. Amen. 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 You know, on Monday nights, we are learning all kind of neat things. For those of you who miss out on Monday night, we even learn about singing as a part of evangelism. And learn that we can sing. And that we should learn to sing well. To appreciate music more. And thank God for our congregational singing. I tell you, you miss out when you don't come to Monday night. It's only an hour, 7 to 8. So I invite you who haven't come yet, write it in your calendar. If you schedule it, it will happen. If you don't, it won't. Amen. Thank God that He's washing us. Thank God that He's cleansing us. And He's preparing us for translation to heaven. Probation is going to close. But if we are hemmed in, if we are locked in, you know when they say locked in with certain rates and your mortgage and all that stuff? When we are locked in with the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, we'll pass through the judgment with flying colors. Character of Christ, the righteousness of Christ over us. So I invite you to pray and remember the last beatitude. Our God and our Father, thank you for your wonderful words of life. They speak to us and they mean much to us. Cleanse us from every sin. deliver us from all unrighteousness. May your glory, your character settle on us. May we do your commandments because we love you and we're empowered by your grace and mercy, your truth, your justice, your righteousness. Have thine own sweet way in our lives, Lord, please. In our character, Lord, often we weave self in there, self-centeredness. Help us to be selfless, to be self-sacrificing, to be filled with the love of God, the power of God, and the sound mind that was in Jesus Christ. You have not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but you have given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we pray that we will leave this place as conquerors today. We leave this place as victors over sin, victors over addiction, victors over our own weakness, because Christ, who is strong, is now enshrined in our lives. Take us over, God. Wash us and make us pure and noble and upright. And Father, keep us from falling. Preserve us, Lord. And may your glory be over us. As we go from this place, may we go in the companionship of your presence, walking with holy angels, singing the joy of the Lord. Father, transform us today and help us to be born again. Thank you for the last, the final beatitude, the final blessing, the final word, the last beatitude. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Blessed are they who wash their robes. And as chapter 7:14 tells us, white through the blood of the Lamb. May we go forward from this place with clean characters today. A brand new start, Lord. A new lease on life. Give us journeying mercies as we make our way home, whether by foot or by automobile, whichever way we came. Help us to go, Jesus, in companionship with you. May we keep the rest of the Sabbath holy by your grace and power, realizing that it is sacred time. Be with us until we meet again. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.